This episode is sponsored by my Patreon supporters. Thank you so much to Christina N., Earl B., St. Peaches, Terrence C., thank you to Carlos C. and Bonkers. A huge thank you to Viden A., Jordan, Roman, Philip, Mona and Luna, Legion, Hannah M., Brizo, and Abby R. Thank you so much for being here. If you're interested in becoming a patron to help support the podcast, then head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Choose the tier that fits your interest and enjoy early access, exclusive episodes, and more. Remember, it's patreon.com/tabitabipod. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I'm your host, Ethan, and I hope you're all doing fine. Remember to take care of yourselves and prioritize your well-being, and thank you for making Tabi Tabi Podcast a part of your week. In today's episode, we are diving into the world of the Ansisit. With that said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. The Ilocanos, also known as Iloco people, are the third largest ethno-linguistic group in the Philippines. They primarily reside in the Ilocos region, located along the northwest coast of Luzon. The creature we're going to talk about today is known among the Ilocanos as the Ansisit. The Ansisit is described as an old, big-bellied man with the stature of a 3-year-old child. Its distinctive features include oversized eyes, nose, mouth, and joints. In the book The Creatures of Midnight by Mr. Maximo Ramos, it was mentioned that the Ansisit lives in caves, anthills, or underground. The Ansisit was also classified as a dwarf in the same book. According to Mr. Ramos, the Philippine dwarves own all of the land. So the Ansisit, like any other Philippine dwarf, requires us to pay rent before we may work on the land or we may construct a house in their land. Rent in this case is boiling white chicken with rice cakes. We have to provide this rent before and after planting or constructing a house. After dark, we must place the food in the field or under the trees. Dwarves, according to the book, despise salt, spices, and seasonings in their cuisines, and dwarves have limited teeth, thus the rice must be cooked soft. So you have to keep that in mind. And since the Ansisit is said to own the land, they have the habit of exacting vengeance on anyone who fails to utter the phrase, "Kayo kayo, lumayo kayo," or "Kayo kayo, stay away," upon entering or passing by their house. I can only assume that the reason they are upset with people not stating their presence while passing by their residence or their home is that they believe you are invading their privacy, which is obviously not good. While there is no guarantee that every mound you encounter is home to the Ansisit, it's always better to be safe than sorry, right? Saying the "kayo kayo, lumayo kayo" phrase won't do any harm. It assures oneself that you are safe and in the Ansisit's good graces. Now, if you don't believe in it and remain unscathed, that's great. However, for those who forget or choose to ignore it, beware. The vengeful Ansisit may inflict swelling in your eyes, lips, or legs as a punishment. How? Legend has it that the creature will even pinch your skin until it turns blue or tug at your toes until they double in size. As if that weren't enough, the Ansisit is also known to inflict scabies, fever, and chills upon those who provoke its wrath or simply rub it the wrong way. So lest you want scabies randomly popping out of your body, be careful. But don't worry, my dear listeners, because there is hope if you find yourself facing the Ansisit's wrath. According to the book Mga Nilalang Nakagilas-Gilas by Mr. Edgar Samar, summoning the creature at precisely 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening and seeking its forgiveness is the key. Although instructions for summoning are not provided, seeking the guidance of an albularyo could be helpful. You can also try applying cotton soaked in water from a shell to the swollen areas, repeating the ritual each night until the swelling subsides. We just have to find out first what kind of shell and water source is needed. But hey, maybe we can just go to the hospital and cure these diseases, right? Well, you're more than welcome to try. However, there is a certain belief that these curses cannot be explained or treated by doctors or hospitals, so more often than not, they are referred to seek help to traditional healers. So the sick person would be taken to the albularyo or a folk healer to undergo a ritual called tawas to determine which magic or which creature caused the curse. Tawas is a process where a cross is made on the patient's head and heated charcoal is applied. After a few minutes, the charcoal is removed and the shape it left behind is interpreted as the entity responsible for the illness. And let's just say for this story, we found out that the ancestor was the one responsible for the curse inflicted upon you. To break the curse, you must present food to the offended ancestor and ask for forgiveness. It is critical to approach the ancestor in a respectful manner in order to avoid the spirit or the ancestor from permanently attaching itself to the individual involved. The albularyo is also said to be capable of capturing the ancestor by pushing its head with its finger. However, this strategy is riskier since it may provoke the wrath of other ancestor partners, leading to additional vengeance. So let's just approach the ancestor in a respectful manner. Now, did you know that at midday, it is believed that the ancestor is frequently spotted napping off while sitting on top of an anthill? They apparently do, and they awaken and stroll around at sunset. During this time, the ancestor is actually pretty concerned that the farmers working on the fields may somehow destroy their homes when they use their tractor, so I can just imagine them being agitated. They also dislike the dust that is created when sweeping. Why? Because it will eventually go into their eyes. Remember, they are the size of a 3-year-old child, so if a person is sweeping and the ancestor happens to pass by, the dust will go into their eyes and hurt them. And it's no wonder that the ancestor becomes irritated immediately. Surprisingly, despite its stern reputation, children have been known to befriend the ancestor, asking it for help in locating lost items like brooms or even beloved pets. Although it remains uncertain whether a token of appreciation is necessary for the ancestor's help, this fascinating connection between the children and the creature adds a touch of warmth to its otherwise mysterious appearance. And that concludes the fourth episode of the podcast about the mysterious ancestor. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something new. If you fancy this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or you can always become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. You can always tip me via GCash. The information will be posted in the description. Once again, thank you so much to you, my patrons, and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you for continuously supporting the podcast. Please stay safe. This has been Ethan, and thanks for listening to Tabitabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!